Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome everyone to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Trainor. Thanks so much for joining me on this year-end sports media review episode. Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, John Oran from Sports Business Journal are my guests. We will recap 2019, go through the bigger stories in sports media from the year, and then we will turn our attention to predictions for 2020. Let me give you a heads up that if you have some time over the holidays to catch up on pods, we have great guests in the archives. Last week, Kyle Brand from Good Morning Football was on the SI Media Podcast. 2 weeks ago, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. 3 weeks ago, Katie Nolan. So if you missed any of those, go into the archives, listen, download, subscribe, rate, review. Helps tremendously. If you're a first-time listener right now to get this year-in-review episode, if you can subscribe, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, let's wrap up 2019 and look ahead to 2020 right now with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post and John Oran of Sports Business Journal right here on the SI Media Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
All right. It's that time, end of the year, 2019 coming to a close. So we will look back, remember, and reflect on 2019 in sports media. Got two of my regulars here to break it all down in studio. Very appreciative. New York Post, Andrew Marchand, sports columnist, sports reporter, sports everything. Andrew, hello.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks for having me in. In studio. Very, very impressive studios here at SI.
We're going to do
Andrew, what does the studio look like?
There's a picture of LeBron James. Who's that? Antonio Brown.
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
Villanova winning the national championship. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. And I mean, it's big time.
That other voice was John Oran from Sports Business Journal. Didn't make it in. He's on the phone. John, how are you?
I heard it was snowing up there. If you're from D.C., you don't go anywhere in the snow.
Big lie. No snow here in New York City. Just rain.
Weathercasters. Jeez. Yeah.
So we're going to recap. We did this last year. We're going to do it again. It's interesting. I remember last year when we recapped 2018, one of the big things were sort of things that calmed down from the volatile 2017 where you had Jemele Hill, Donald Trump tweeting about the NFL players, and that's really all died down. It's amazing. Trump's been quiet on the sports front, even in 2019 again. So there's been none of that going on this year. So it's, I think for me personally, I think the more than sports media in terms of announcers, broadcasters, shows, I think the business side with all the streaming and contracts has been the big theme. But we'll get into everything and recap 2019 with Andrew and John. So let's start with this. Let's start with what you think the biggest, most impactful, most important sports media story of 2019 was. Let's start with you, John.
I thought you were going to ask that. So I came up with a couple of times. I wanted to answer the Sinclair buying the 21 Fox RSNs because that was the biggest deal. It was about, you know, what was it, about $10 to $11 billion deal. That doesn't happen every year in sports media. But Sinclair basically bought them, and they're still the same old RSNs. They haven't really done much with them yet, so it's just kind of it didn't have – there wasn't as big a change on the RSNs as I thought. So I'm going to go a little bit off the wall, and it's a much smaller deal. But CBS picking up the UEFA Champions League was the most surprising deal that I'd ever heard. When I first heard about it, I had to get confirmed like probably four or five times because it was so unbelievable that CBS would dig into its pockets and do a sports rights deal. And if you're going to flip this forward to next year and the year after when all these big rights deals come up, it suggests that this big Viacom CBS is going to be a much bigger player and a much more aggressive player in the rights fee business than anybody would have suspected even 6 months ago.
And a lot of those games will be on CBS Sports Network, correct?
They're actually, most of them are going to be on CBS All Access, their streaming service.
Okay.
They're going to have a couple of them on the broadcast network. And my belief is, check me on this, Andrew, but I think that CBS Sports Network is only going to show the replays in prime time. So I don't think they're going to show any live games on Sports Network. It's really to drive their streaming service, All Access.
Yeah, if you're a Champions League person, I am one, you're going to need CBS All Access to really watch it. So it's an interesting play, and I think that kind of dovetails into what I'm thinking as the top story of the year is the streaming services. I mean, you think about the transition of ESPN to ESPN Plus. We're in the beginning stages. I think they claim they have 3.5 million. That is where we're going. I think the consumer's finding out that, you know what, cable might not have been as bad. Now, we all hate cable companies. I particularly don't like Charter at the moment.
Won't go on about DirecTV.
DirecTV,
right,
I try to set you up. Yeah. But
I thought both of you would mention Cablevision at some, or all piece, I guess it is.
Yeah, I don't have them. But that's where it's going. So you see, like you mentioned, UEFA deal. Bleacher Report gets out of that. And now CBS All Access is going to try to make their streaming network have a, or platform have a sports, a bigger sports component. DAZN is involved. The NFL rights are coming up this year. And I just think that when you look at where we are going, ESPN Plus, streaming, even The Athletic, you know, in their subscriber base and what they're trying to do, I think that is where sports media is going, which is interesting. And I kind of think that's the biggest story, you know, when you kind of get inside sports media, not talking about big names and personalities moving all around, Stephen A's contract, et cetera. But I think that's kind of was the story of the year and will be going forward.
Yeah, and the most interesting part of that, I would hazard a guess, if we looked at the transcript from a year ago, we were talking about Amazon and we were talking about Facebook and, you know, when are all these tech companies going to come do it? All the streaming that Andrew mentioned, like, look at ESPN Plus. You know, NBC is getting ready to launch Peacock. I mentioned already CBS All Access. These are primarily established media companies that are making a ton of money through cable that are really doing so much more in terms of streaming and grabbing rights for streaming than any of those gigantic big tech companies like Facebook or Twitter or Amazon.
Yeah, Bleacher as well with the streaming service this year was a big launch. For me, the biggest story, it's sort of a two-part thing. It's the bounce back of the NFL ratings being so strong, which also ties into sort of this, you talked about the cable companies. It does feel like there's almost a rebirth is the wrong word, but once again, network is becoming the dominating force over cable in sports. You know, the NFL games on network, ratings through the roof. The cable ratings for the NBA have taken a big hit. You know, Jim Miller is adamant that he thinks ABC is going to get back into the NFL game, not ESPN.
Yeah, I wrote that last year, just for the record.
Oh,
yeah.
Jimmy, both of us have been writing that for a while.
Yeah, for a while, Jimmy.
All right. Well, all right, just shit all over the host. Okay. So it is interesting that it's swinging the other way. The NFL, I've been trying all year to figure out why the ratings are so strong after the dipping, because I was always of the impression that ratings would keep going down because so many people were cutting the cord. You guys have any thoughts on the big ratings bounce back? Start with Andrew.
Well, two things. Number one, I think from what you were saying, I think there's, when you look at where the business has gone, there are two ways to go about it. And when I look at it, I look at Disney and I look at Fox. And obviously, the Post is owned by Fox. So when I praise them here, you know, you can say whatever you want. But this is how I feel. Either you're in all the way, which was what Disney's doing with streaming and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, which in my opinion, what's going to happen is most families are going to end up having all those along with Hulu combined. And you're going to spend $12, and that's going to be in 75 million homes eventually, 100 million homes, where it'll make it a viable option for, you know, the NBA to put their games on ESPN Plus and even the NFL, maybe, again, way down the road. So that's one way to go. Fox, on the other hand, got out. They said, we're not going to do that right now, at least, and we're going to really focus on broadcast and sports and live, which is what works. And so what is kind of out of that equation? Cable. And you look at what's gone on with the NBA, specifically with Turner. Turner is a network where, you know, their non-sports programming is, you know, that kind of cinematic shows like, what is it, you know, law shows, and you know, I never really watched Turner, but in general, those people who were watching that watch Netflix now. So does the NBA lack getting that casual viewer who might have saw the commercial the night before, and then they come in and instead they're just getting that hardcore NBA fan on Thursday nights when they don't have a great game? That might be the case. I think the NBA also has some major issues with load management and injuries and a little bit too reliant on certain stars. But I think that's where you see where the world's going, is that streaming and broadcast are really kind of in front, where you had ESPN and cable networks that were really leading the charge over the last couple decades.
Interesting. So you got on streaming.
But the corollary to that, too, is that ESPN is seeing audience growth, even though there's cord cutting and fewer people watching cable. They're seeing audience growth in college football. They're seeing audience growth in the NFL. They saw audience growth in Major League Baseball. And what some ESPN executives speculate is that, you know, the people that are cutting the cord and going are not sports fans. And so, you know, they've lost, you know, what is it, like probably like 10% over the past couple of years of their subscribers. And those are all people that want to binge on Netflix or whatever. But the core sports fans are still subscribing to cable right now. And the whole tipping point is, when that stops, are they going to go to ESPN Plus, or are they going to go to Fox Broadcast, or are they going to do a combination of the two? And that's sort of, you know, a major story that both Andrew and I are probably going to be watching for 5 years going on.
And John, don't you think it's going to be the combo, though? I mean, I think that's what
it's
makes sense.
It's got to be the combo, of course. Yeah, I think so. In ESPN's defense, they also have ABC, and they're putting a whole heck of a lot more sports on ABC. And Fox, just because they're not doing a streaming service now, doesn't mean that they're not going to buy one or roll one out within the next couple of years.
That's good stuff there. I didn't factor in the streaming in asking that question. Let's get it back to the NFL ratings. If I asked you to sum up why you think they're up this year, what would you say, John?
You know, the funny thing is, like, there are probably 20 reasons why NFL ratings are up versus not. Going down to something as ridiculous as the weather on the East Coast in the fall was not that great, so people would stay inside and watch. I mean, nobody really knows. I think that the NFL had a couple of really good storylines. I think the NFL suffered when Peyton Manning left, just because he was a known figure. And they now have, like, you know, Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and they sort of have the old-time quarterbacks that people will watch, and they have, like, you know, the kid from Baltimore. Why am I blanking on his
Lamar
name?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly, who's sort of exciting, and people will watch
the kid
that.
From Baltimore,
they have pretty good storylines going throughout.
He was doing a Mike Francesa there for a second.
Kid from Baltimore, he's good, and he's a future.
It's hard to keep.
I think I'd call him the kid, too. Yeah. I get to do that. I'm over 50.
It's hard to keep Andrew national. He has that tendency to go local. And if anyone doesn't know, when Mike Francesa doesn't really pay attention to sports anymore, he just calls everyone the kid. That's usually the MO.
He and John Orand, yeah. Both of them don't pay attention to sports enough.
Everyone's the kid.
Big fan.
What do you think about NFL ratings? Any reasons why they're up?
I thought John covered it pretty well.
Yeah,
I don't want to bore people.
Well, people like that stuff.
They do. I don't think it's over. I don't know what the average fan. I think when it's extreme, people like it. When there's extreme, like the NBA is down right now.
I mean, Thanksgiving.
So Andrew, why are the NBA ratings down well into double digits?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think they've been hurt by the perception of load management, even if they like to argue that there's, you know, that it shouldn't be used as a term. When you have that term in the vernacular, it's basically saying the regular season is not important. I think that's one reason. I think a big reason, and this is a huge problem for TV going forward, is Twitter, Instagram, the second something happens, like literally seconds later, that highlight is on TV. LeBron the other night.
On social media.
On social media. LeBron the other night makes a great pass between his legs to Dwight Howard. I don't have to watch the game. It's on 50 people are tweeting about it.
Right.
I watched that seven times. So young people are being trained not to really care about watching a full game, maybe the playoffs, maybe big games, and they're on social media 24/7, and that's how they're getting their sports. And I think that's the bigger issue. And I think the NFL, when you compare it to basketball or baseball, it gets such a pass. The media does a terrible job and people understanding it. NFL has 16 games. Baseball has 162.
Right.
The NBA, they play 82 regular season games. It's supply and demand. The NFL is easy to consume.
Every week is a playoff game in the NFL.
It's every week.
Even week one.
But not only that, though, it's easy to consume. You have a family. You have kids. It's like, honey, I need 3.5 hours for the Giants game.
Every Sunday.
That's what I need.
Yeah, but what's so surprising to me about the NBA is that the offseason and the player movement was the NBA seemed almost more popular in July when they weren't playing than right now when everybody's playing.
I think a lot of that has
my Twitter feed, at least.
Well, speaking of someone who writes a column every day, that's because if you can pump up rumors and clickbait and all that stuff, people click and they want more and more of that. But, you know, it's always about what could happen more than.
But I think that's interesting to people. Like, I think covering sports media, the thing that I think for me. That sticks out is it's always free agency.
Well,
there's always people moving. There's always deals being done. And in other sports or other things you cover, there's limited times. If for baseball, this never ends,
right.
Having covered it before.
Right.
It never ends. But in like basketball, there's that week or two where players move. And you're right, John. There is a amazing amount of buzz. And I also think the other thing I think the NBA has done a terrible job, it's playoffs. I get why they spread out each series because for the TV game, there is no rhythm or rhyme to the series. It just takes the life out of these series. And I get it. That might be what ESPN and ABC and Turner want because they want Thursday and they want Sunday night, maybe Tuesday for the majority of their games. But it just takes the life out of the series. And to me, it makes them very unmemorable.
I agree with that. It's a regular season that's down. I'll say two things on this quickly, John, because I wrote a column about this recently and I was surprised at how many people responded to me on Twitter by saying they don't start paying attention to the NBA till Christmas. Christmas Day is really the official start of the NBA with those five games that go on Christmas Day. Starts at noon and ends at, basically 1 a.m. A lot of people were bringing up, while football's going on, they don't pay attention. Then Christmas Day, they start getting into the NBA. And I've said all along, to me, LeBron playing in L.A. just destroys the East Coast in terms of being able to watch the best player in the game.
Well, and that's a story that I wrote a couple weeks ago, that they broached maybe moving the season closer to Thanksgiving and maybe even Christmas,
right.
Which is the NBA. They tried to play it down, but they did discuss that. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. But I do think that if you looked at their schedule, if you were able to push it away from the NFL even further, it's not them running away from the NFL. It just makes sense and can start more closer to the new year,
right.
And then run through spring training for baseball, regular season for baseball. I think they might find some success there instead of, again, the season's also way too long. It goes forever.
Right. I just think
better. Look, the NBA's marquee night is Thursday night. And over the past 2 years, the NFL on Thursday night has really built up really good games generally on Thursday night. So it's a killer for an early season NBA game,
yep.
Especially when there are going to be a lot of Pelicans games and Warriors games, and they're suffering through a ton of injuries. Going against an NFL game that's actually a pretty competitive game, it's going to be deadly for the NBA no matter what.
You can't have it's such an individualized sport, and you can't have the best player in the sport who people either love or hate. Everyone has an opinion on him, and whether they love him or hate him, everyone loves watching the guy play. And his game started 10:30 at night Eastern. It's a killer. It's an absolute killer. Let's move on because one of the other biggest stories of the year. More of a success story. College football. Fox launched their college football pregame show. They're going to say they never were intended to go head to head with Game Day, but they sure made sure to send out every kind of press release there was when they got close in the ratings. So they did intend to go head to head with Game Day, and they did better than anyone I think would have imagined. Andrew, Fox NFL kickoff, big noon kickoff.
Yeah, it's a success. I mean, yeah. You look at the show that. Brad Zager and the Fox execs they put together there, they did a great job. Urban Meyer was a major success. We'll see if he goes into coaching, but they utilized him really well, which sometimes networks don't do that. He's an ex-coach. They put him in position to tell you what an ex-coach would be looking at and what he'd be telling his team and have him explain the run-pass option. And they did a good job. And then there are other guys, also big names, Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner, Brady Quinn, all really into it. And that's what sometimes you get the big names who are not into it. And they did a good job. Listen, Game Day is an iconic show, one of the great shows of all time. But if you were going to nitpick it and draw criticism sometimes, maybe it's not enough about football. and Fox really drilled down on making it about football in their hour, and they obviously had the advantage of leading into their games, and they did a good job. And when you talk about the ratings, Jimmy, it's not really what the actual numbers are. It's what the conversation is. And they what it did, though, that's your spin on it.
That's not what it is. Which show did more people watch? More people watch Game Day than Big Noon Kickoff. That's all. There's nothing else to spin on it.
No, but the point is to be – but that's not really, like, who cares? Like, again, you talk about the ratings. Like, who really cares? Who has, like
– Oh, they care.
No, they I guess the PR people. I don't care.
The PR department.
Yeah, they care. Great. That's
one of the most ridiculous weeks of PR I've ever seen.
That's their problem. But the point is, though, is that if you're in the conversation as it's so there is a discussion, that's a win for the underdogs.
Yeah, that was my point. They performed better than I think anyone would have thought, and I want John's take on that as well.
It is network television, though. I mean, so
there's two things here. One. I think to say that Game Day is not like enough football is a 3-hour show. They do plenty of football. Two, it is interesting that no one talked about the fact that we're comparing a network show to a cable show. John, what did you make of the success and how much exactly there was of Fox Noon Kickoff?
Fox is really, really happy about it. And for me, it was an okay success. I mean, they have Big Ten programming. They had a good games in there. It doesn't surprise me that they got a big number. But if you take a look at the number of uncompetitive games that they showed, I mean, it's preposterous. I think they had like maybe two games that were one score games the entire season.
Well, where they
so
got
in terms
lucky,
of
though,
room for growth, Ohio... I think they have a huge room to grow.
Yeah, where they got lucky is Ohio State fans will watch every Ohio State blowout, so they get a good number for it.
Yeah, Ohio State, Maryland, I think I turned that off in the first quarter.
I mean, I didn't think they'd be as competitive as they were, and they proved me wrong. Their numbers were solid, but, I mean, they're not Game Day yet.
No, they're not. I don't think anybody would say they were.
Well, they wanted to say it that last week, and they were not. I mean, it was just, you know. First of all,
they were not, but, you know, they're going to keep building. I think that there are advantages. I think there's advantages to being on broadcast TV, and I think there are advantages in being the pregame show that leads into your game. So if I want to watch that game, I want to see the pregame show for that game, as opposed to for all of college football.
But I also think if you look at it, right, they're going to try to get the SEC. They can make a big case. Obviously, money's going to talk, but they can make a big case that look what we did with our pregame show. Look what we did with the ratings on these games that, as you just said, weren't really good games. Right. And if you're the SEC, again, money will talk at the end, but the SEC might say, you know, that's something that, and then all of a sudden Fox would be a pretty big juggernaut.
Let's save that because we'll do predictions for 2020 and I want to mention the SEC. So let's save that. A couple more things on 2019.
Nobody's listening to the end anyway, Jimmy.
Yes, they are. They're sticking with this one to the end. This episode of the SI Media Podcast is sponsored by Zoom. When you use Zoom, every day is a little better. Zoom Video Communications, with the web's best-reviewed video conference service, used by millions to meet one-on-one or hundreds at a time. Zoom Video Conferencing lets you connect face-to-face with anyone across town or around the world with flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing of files, video, anything. And you can connect through any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, smartphone, or conference room system. Zoom Video Conferencing, Zoom Rooms, Zoom Video Webinars, and Zoom Phone put state-of-the-art tech at your fingertips and lets you do business at the speed of Zoom. Look, if you're not using Zoom Video Communications, the only question I have for you is, why not? I'll make it super easy for you. Visit Zoom online and set up a free account today. Try the most affordable and most reliable video communication solution on the market. Meet happy with Zoom. This one is more in my world than your guys' world, but I want your take on it. And it's the demise of Deadspin. I think it's one of the biggest stories of the year because of just the impact they've had over the years, how long they've been around, sort of their place in sports media. Let's start with this. John, I'll start with this. Is there any way they can come back at all? I mean, they haven't posted in, I don't know, a month. The whole staff has quit. Do you feel like there's a void without Deadspin? Do you think someone tries to bring it back? What do you think about Deadspin?
Yeah, I think there's a void. And I think that I'm actually surprised that somebody hasn't tried to sort of enter into that space, you know, sort of like that snarky space that you can sort of go to. You see something ridiculous on during a game and you feel confident you can go to Deadspin or a site to see it. And I think it's more possible to have a new Deadspin come out because it doesn't cost a ton to have an online publication. It's not like saying, boy, I really wish that television show would come back. And then you have to, you know, get a studio and get production. The cost is relatively light there, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in terms of predictions, I know that's late in their show, Jimmy, but in terms of predictions, I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody try to enter that space this year.
Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, you would think that someone would try to do that.
Is it too late, though?
Why would it be too late?
I mean, they've been dormant for...
Oh, well, I don't like Deadspin. I think Deadspin as like a site under its current ownership, that's
done. I'm not talking about Deadspin.
Yeah,
I'm
like the writers who, you know, their core group.
Right.
And I know some have already gotten other jobs, but if they were to get together and say, let's try to do this, they might need backing, of course. You know, could it be successful? I think they were successful. If you know, they said that they were financially successful before the group came in that wanted to change things. Fundamentally, I don't understand why you'd buy something and then change it. That doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
If you want, again, they bought, I think, a number of properties, but why you wouldn't just, if something's successful, go with it, and you kind of have to have the stones to stick with it if that's what you're purchasing.
Yeah, I believe.
Venture capital getting into publishing, that happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I believe what the new ownership had said was that, like, they had done some surveys that said that people only want sports and they don't like the non-sports posts. But if the company is making money, I would think that would bear out that end of it more than their survey, which, I mean, who takes surveys?
It's more of a feel. I mean, I do think you have a relationship with Deadspin writers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you read Drew McGarry,
right,
you know, for years and years, very funny, a lot of different types of columns that he's done over the years that have, you know, obviously have a fan base and are entertaining. So you're used to that. And those don't always stick to sports. I think most of his columns are kind of comedy, you know, sort of making fun of the world sort of columns. And so I don't think I don't know why you'd eliminate that type of thought. I do think that there could be an argument that if someone's coming to a sports site, do they necessarily want politics when you can go to a politics site? I mean, this gets into the broader ESPN, you know, stick to sports conversation.
Unlike ESPN, I don't think many people thought of Deadspin as a sports site. They've always covered everything. You always knew what you were getting. I think it would be more shocking if you went there and there were...
Yeah, it's had different stages. Sport. I mean, Deadspin's a lot different than it was when Will Leach and AJ Delario kind of made it come to be. There was a lot done back then that is different than what they've done in the last 5-10 years. And so I think it's about 15 years old, maybe. And so when you look at it, yeah, and getting back to what John said, it would be interesting to see someone try to recreate it. But the idea of Deadspin coming back, I mean, by just of habit, sometimes I just go there every once in a while,
right.
And it's like the same Kellen Winslow post that's been there for like 2 weeks.
I haven't gone there in forever. Is that what pops up?
I think something new. The other day I went there, I think it was Lamar Jackson, but there's no real stuff.
No, November 4th, Kellen Winslow was the last post. Right. Yeah, that was it because I checked yesterday. Yeah. I'll get back to Fox for 1 second. I wanted to mention they had this big partnership this year with WWE, SmackDown airing on Fridays. John, do you think Fox is happy with how that deal has gone so far? Are they a little disappointed? Where do you think they stand with the getting into the wrestling WWE business with Fox?
You know, it's early yet. They're certainly not disappointed. I don't know if they're overjoyed, but they're completely committed. So, I mean, they have that one studio show that's just on the WWE. The ratings are coming in. They're fine. I haven't gotten a good read on what kind of ad dollars that they're getting with that, but they insist that those are coming through as well. I mean, so it's they're in for the long term, and they're certainly not disappointed.
The studio show is on FS1, WWE Backstage. It's actually a good show. If you're a wrestling fan, if you're not a wrestling fan, you won't know what the hell's going on. I know Andrew's not a big wrestling guy. You probably have nothing to say about this.
I mean, I like Jimmy Superfly Snuka back in the day. So, you know, Rowdy Roddy's Piper's Pit.
Did you think it was smart for Fox to get in bed with the WWE? Did you think that was?
Well, I mean, I think it goes into their strategy of live. I think when you look at brands now and companies now and networks and newspapers and websites, when you think of something, you want to think, all right, Fox, it's 8 o'clock live.
Right.
You know, I think that's when we got into the NBA talk with Turner. If you're not thinking about them all the time, if you're a millennial, then maybe you don't turn it on and, on Thursdays. And ESPN, contrary, you know you're getting sports. That's right. Where you're looking first. So in terms of the play, of in terms of trying to be live with sports on an almost nightly basis, I think it does make sense.
It's interesting.
Yeah, to me, the wild thing is that it's all done through Fox's sports department. I mean, on USA, that's NBC's entertainment department. Yeah. This is the first time a sports department has gotten their hands on the WWE, which is why you're seeing that studio show, which you would never see on USA or right. NBC Sports Network.
And the cross promotion has been incredible and kind of insane. It's interesting because we've sat here for half an hour. We've talked about the NFL a lot, college football, which is the WWE. We talked about UEFA. Does it always feel like, I don't know, it feels like to me, because I like the sport, like there's just, it feels like there's never anything to say about baseball. Like, and especially in the case of this kind of stuff, maybe it's a good thing because they're on Fox. They've been on Fox for 100 years. They just signed another mega deal with Fox. The World Series is on Fox all the time. Regular season, just no one pays attention to it. Fox, ESPN. I mean, the state of baseball in terms of ratings, in terms of making money, it really doesn't get talked about as much as the other sports. It's like good or bad.
Well, I just think baseball's story is so underrated. You just said that Fox did a big 10-year deal with them to broadcast it. They made a lot of money there. You look at the regional sports networks that John spoke about earlier, Sinclair buying them. Why did they buy most of them? What was the biggest reason they wanted them? It's baseball programming, which is because you get so much inventory, and they do well, especially when the teams are good. Nationally, it's always going to kind of be, especially regular season-wise, and ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, to me, it's like the broadcast that just can't win. It's almost impossible. You get your daily, if you're a Yankee fan, you get Michael Kay and company every day. And then on Sundays, you're going to get a team that's coming in. They're not going to know the both rosters as well. And they obviously, ESPN screwed up many times by trying to do like a talk show instead of just do the game, because the same game that was played the night before. But overall, it does very well. And then the playoffs are kind of messed up. Turner again comes in there
MLB
out of nowhere.
Network.
MLB Network. Yeah. It's sort of like,
FS1,
where are these games?
Fox.
It doesn't feel, yeah, it doesn't yeah. feel as big as maybe the other playoffs.
Right.
But they do very well online with MLB.com. I just think it's underrated because it's tonnage. It's not just those big ratings. And everyone loves to do the World Series compared to, yes, it's seven games. You're comparing it to Super Bowls. And yes, I get a Sunday night football game on NBC might do better than a World Series game. But it's a regional sport, and it's a sport of attrition. And by the time you get to that World Series, the one thing they really should figure out, in my opinion, and my buddy Tyler Kepner from the Times has written this a million times, is that they have to get some playoff games in the day. And I get it, they might hurt their ratings a little bit, but I think they're making a major mistake not having kids watch these games. Mm-hmm. And I think it shows up somewhat in the ratings. That is a negative story there. It shows up in the ratings now when, if you're an 28-year-old and you've never really watched the end of a World Series game, why are you going to start watching them now if your team's not in it? So that's a mistake. But I think overall, I think their story is a little underrated compared to how they are looked at nationally, generally.
John, MLB?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Andrew partially. I think that MLB as a national, especially the regular season as a national entity, is not where the NBA is even, or the NFL is. But if you take a look locally, just take a look at the ratings locally. They have the, in Cleveland, in like several different markets, they have the highest primetime show all through for how many from April through October, and it's they have such strength locally that it's actually mind-boggling if you take a look at some of those numbers. I mean, if you're just looking at the Sunday night baseball numbers, I mean, that Turner baseball on Sunday afternoon gets hash marks just about. And Fox's a weekly game doesn't do a ton better. But on a local level, they do really, really well. As far as, like, the one area that I'm going to push back on you, Marchand, is the whole, like, kids aspect. I mean, I never watched the end of a World Series game as a kid. This is something people have been talking about for 40 years, and still they're able to.
Do you watch them now?
Fans. What?
Do you watch them at the end? Do you watch the end of a World Series game now if your team's not in it?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I'm a fan, so I do.
Okay.
But if you go to an MLB park, I see kids all over the place. Yep. They're all hanging out. I mean, I think that they don't have a problem with younger fans. They have more of a problem with making their sport more accessible to some of those younger fans in terms of pace of play, length of games, other things like that. But starting time and ending time, I think is something that they've been talking about for so long that I just don't see it.
And you mentioned, for me, the biggest issue by far is the ridiculousness of the playoff networking and how they do it. MLB Network, I mean, the Yankees, I think the Yankee-Astro ALCS this year, there was one game on Fox, the rest were on FS1, there's games on MLB Network, there's games on ESPN. That is the biggest mess.
Well, listen, I tweeted about that, and some people kind of said, well, you can Google.
Right, just got it. Right, I understand.
I get it. It's not that. It's the feel. It's not like, of course, I can find the game in 3 seconds, and maybe that's old man cloud stuff. We're getting to that age, perhaps. But like, it's just the feel of it is not big,
but
and
also,
that's the difference.
When you're so used to, when you're watching a playoff series, you're getting the same announcers every night. You know, like, you want some consistency there. One day it's Bob
Costas. That's the other thing,
Todd. I mean, it's, and then we're on FS1 there's no consistency. The times, the networks. It would be nice if it was a little more consistent.
And also the other thing is, now obviously I used to cover it, so it was more. It's like a war of attrition. Like, I, you know, as with my job, you got to watch the Yankees every night, and you're just home watching the Yankees. But it's like, all right, this month, there's going to be lack of sleep. And I don't even have to go to an office every day. I mean, people have to go to an office. It really, again, I'm not saying there's a better way
to do
it. Now
you sound like an old man.
But it's just true, though. But it's true, though. You have to, if the Yankees go to the ALCS every single night, basically.
If it's your team, you don't care. If it's other teams, it's hard to stay up late. If it's your team, you don't mind staying up late.
But I would also say the same thing holds true if it's your team in the NBA or if it's your team in the NHL. It's an exhausting process to get through the
playoff.
Yeah,
but no, but the NBA, though, and even the NHL, now obviously you can go to overtime, but like, you're 2.5 hours, you know you're out of there. It's the fifth inning.
Right.
It might be
10:30,
and you're like, all right, should I go to bed, find out in the morning what happened, or do I roll the dice and this game might be over in an hour and a half, or it might be over in 17 hours?
That's fair.
I still blame Girardi for all that, and like, always changing the pitchers.
I'm with you. I'll blame Joe, too.
Sure, blame Joe. And now he's back managing, so if he gets in the playoffs with the Phillies, you'll have that again. Let's talk about some talent, as they say in the business, in sports media. Give me a couple of people who you thought were rising stars in 2019. Who do you think made names for themselves? Who do you think are people you should be watching in 2020 who had big 2019s that were sort of newcomers to the game?
I'll start with Marcus Spears. I think he's a guy on the rise. I know people love to say the next Barkley this. I wouldn't say that about basically anybody, because I think Barkley is, he's the preeminent studio guy of all time, and he's different. But when you watch Marcus Spears, what comes through is a personality that can kind of go off script.
Right.
That it's not just about, all right, there's a big topic, but the guy can talk about other things and make it interesting. And I think he's done that consistently. And you have to see if he can. It's easy to kind of do it when you're first on the scene. And ESPN, you get a lot of reps. You're on a lot. It's a little bit different than Barkley. Barkley has a huge advantage, only going on basically once a week. But he's one. Maria Taylor has kind of stepped up into even bigger roles with her NBA countdown role to go along with what she does with college football. So those are two that stick out for me in terms of people who are on the rise this year.
John, you have anybody?
I was going to say Maria Taylor. I mean, just talking to people at ESPN, like, there appears to be a real star on her. Like, I expect her to have sort of a meteoric rise through ESPN. And he's not like an up-and-comer, but I think Nate Burleson is going to, within the next year or two, have a really big role with some network on their NFL shows.
Where he does, doesn't he?
Much bigger than he does currently.
Much bigger.
He's on the NFL Today. Wow, CBS is they're right.
One thing I would say that.
I'm getting him out of the studio and out of the pregame shows.
I know. I saw your little prediction. You had him on Monday Night Football. You might want to check those contracts, John.
Andrew's very salty today. The only thing I would say about
I know.
The only thing I would say about
joking
Nate,
with you. I don't see him doing that. But I think Nate. The other thing about Nate that I think you're right though, John. I think though he can cross over.
Well, he already
he's
has.
Already doing extra yeah. extra. And I he's a guy who, if you look at the straight hand path, I think he could be on that.
We have SI.com Media Awards coming out Wednesday. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, check them out. Written by
Does
myself.
Andrew win any? Do I win any?
I mentioned Dan Orlovsky in that category.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely. He's, yep.
You know, I'm not crazy about breaking down the tape like a lot, but the way he does it, I feel like is a next level kind of thing. He's really, really good at that.
He does it in a clean fashion.
Right,
and
right.
He shows, I mean, I'm not a big fan of saying people should be fired, but the other day he said Freddie Kitchen should be fired.
Right.
So he's willing to say strong things.
Yeah.
He's definitely on
he
the
did
rise.
A phenomenal job with Brady and the receivers.
Yes.
In that one game against the Chiefs.
And this is the future, though. Like, when you look at where the analysts are going to come from, these guys are making so much money. Like, they've all the networks have taken runs at Peyton Manning, pretty apparent that he probably is never going to do it. And a lot of these guys, they don't need to do it. Some of them like to be in the spotlight, and they can make a lot of money.
Right.
Tony Romo's going to make a lot of money.
I've talked about this a million times, probably with both of you. That's where, you know, the networks want the big names, and the big names might not be the guys. Dan Orlovsky, not a big name, was not a good NFL quarterback, and here he is. I'm telling you, he'd be better than Peyton Manning in the booth. It's kind of
no
obvious,
doubt about it. And he would, but and though, yes, you're saying he wasn't good in NFL, but he did spend 12 years in the league, which is
his years. He wasn't good for someone who was in the league. There are bad quarterbacks in the
NFL.
No,
he's not a celebrity. Well, he's not a celebrity. Right. That's what I would say.
But he wasn't a winning quarterback. I mean, he wasn't, you know.
No, but I mean, that's
true. He never got drafted in fantasy football.
No doubt, but
that's what I'm saying.
But my point is, though,
mark,
but in terms of knowing football, that doesn't necessarily.
Well, he's proving that now.
Yes, but I would say that most
guys. Andrew, where's Romo going to end up?
No, we're not there yet. Hang on, you're jumping ahead here. I got a format.
We just mentioned Romo.
We'll save that.
Here's the thing.
Wait,
this is the biggest thing. This is my biggest prediction of the year. No one's going to finish this podcast. Anybody?
We
get numbers on that.
We're only 40 minutes in. Just relax.
All right, fine.
Because my next question, I mean, John, you sort of answered it with Nate, but my next question was going to be, who in sports media, on TV, radio, podcast, whatever, do you think needs a change of scenery, needs
Ooh.
A new job, new network, new show, where they maybe could thrive a little more? I don't know if Nate fits that category for you, because, like, you know, he is on the NFL today.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he needs new scenery. That's a good question.
You want me to start?
Yeah, who are you thinking?
Well, where's Michelle Beadle these days?
Well, she needs scenery, not really
right.
a change of scenery. Well, she's the buyout, they say, is not complete. I think it's done, but they don't want to announce it until she has another thing, which I don't think she has. A lot of people pointed to
the
zone.
New network.
Yeah, of course. And I think Michelle Beadle was good on the air. I think what really hurt her was how she was off the air, not willing to do other things when you're making $5 million. And then what happened, of course, with GetUp, where she really didn't put the effort in after agreeing to do something. And so that rub people the wrong way. And the bigger thing with anybody who has a job is that when you get a different boss and you are signed by the last boss, then there's no necessarily loyalty for the new boss to say, oh, let me stick with this person. If John Skipper stays, I think Michelle Beadle's probably still a strong member because he's the one who was behind, kept offering more and more money. And you can't blame her for accepting it when they kept going more and more. And I would say that was a terrible decision, though, because you're asking someone to wake up very early in the morning. It's life-changing and really difficult to do those type of shows. And so, in her defense, I mean, eventually she took the money, but it just was a poor. It was a poor decision. It just was a crazily dumb decision.
The other one I would say is this. Gus needs to get back to CBS. I get that he's the face of the college football schedule.
That's
on
not
Fox.
Happening.
But no one thinks of him as the lead college football guy. No one, he's not in that world. He's still thought of with the tournament. He could do the NFL. Gus needs to get back to Fox at some point. That's just my opinion. You guys have any change of scenery, people?
Yeah,
I'll throw one out. I'll say Jason Witten, who probably is going to retire this season and come back. I think he'll probably go back to the booth and be like, you know, the three or four analysts on one of the Sunday afternoon broadcasters.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I could see him. I definitely could see him being a number three guy on
That's
Fox or something and be reborn. I do think what's underrated, though, when we talk about all these guys is that is your partner. And I think a guy like Chris Webber might be better than he's shown. You know, Marv Albert's the greatest of all time, but he's not the same broadcaster as he once was. And so I think Webber might have more than what we've seen because it's just it's a different type of broadcast that they have to do now. And so I think Weber is somebody who maybe could, with the right partner, could do more.
Okay. That's an interesting one. A knock on Marv. Interesting take.
No, I thought he was very political in how he handled that.
I've written. Listen, if I were Turner, I would have had Marv in last year. I love Marv. This is a difficult subject, but I would have. It's a difficult thing for executives. It's difficult for agents. Difficult for people around him. But I do think for people who watch the NBA, they kind of know that Marv isn't as good as he once was, and it would be nice to maybe celebrate the greatest of all time instead of the mistakes sometimes that are amplified.
That's nonsense. All right.
Well, you know what? What's interesting about that is Andrew mentioned Skipper before hiring people and then leaving. David Levy left, and it would be interesting to see, like, if in a parallel universe, if David Levy were still over Turner, you know, what would be happening with Marv right now? And I would bet that he wouldn't be the number one voice on TNT.
So you think the new people want to keep Marv as the number one voice?
I just think they probably haven't thought that through as much. And David Levy, somebody that was sort of like a larger than life personality that was willing to take arrows, right. And so it's sort of, you know, in a state of flux, let's just keep the let's keep it as is.
Yeah, I just realized this is your story that you've been all over, Marshan, about them pushing out Marv for Brian Anderson. Which, okay, one, you don't push out Marv; you let Marv go when he wants to go. And two, if you are gonna push him out, it should be Kevin Harlan. It's a disgrace if it's not, and he could use a change of scenery if it's not. He should go to ESPN where they'd use him on everything.
Two things. Number one, when David Levy was in charge, the plan was that this year they're going to elevate Brian Anderson to the number one spot. Now, with Jeff Zucker's come in, he's kind of a busy guy. I think that, and I don't know this 100%, but I think he came in and said, you know what, I'm not going to, the first thing I'm going to do is replace Marv Albert. You know, that's why it would be the first thing. Right. So let's let it play out. And look, it's a difficult thing. It is what it is. You have to report on these things. You can't choose what you report on, in my opinion, when you cover something. You can't play favorites, you know, which way. You have to report what's going on. So now I would say that the candidates are Harlan, Anderson, and Ian Eagle, who they've increased his role. And Ian's probably the best of the three. Harlan deserves it for his longevity there and is good. And Brian Anderson's excellent. He's just not an NBA guy.
Harlan deserves to call, you know, whatever it is, the Western Conference Final, Eastern Conference Final, whatever they have. You mentioned Witten. Big story in 2019 was him going back to Dallas. Your thoughts on ESPN, did they make the right decision keeping the booth of Tessitore and McFarlane, and how do you think it's worked out this year? John, we'll start with you.
Ratings are up.
Okay.
He said I was political. Where do you live, Washington, D.C.?
I think it worked out. I think that they still need to do some tweaks. Again, I want to parrot what Andrew said. Sometimes you don't pick what you report on, and I know that, you know, the NFL wants to see that booth get better. And I think in terms of, if you were to compare the Monday Night Football booth to Nance and Romo, to Al Michaels and Collinsworth, or to Buck and Aikman, it's pretty clear where it would fall. And if they want to be in the Super Bowl rotation, and if they want to be get more and better games and better packages in the next round of rights, that they're going to have to make some tweaks to it.
Do you want to add anything? Or
no, I mean, look, I wrote about this week too. That booth is a historic booth. Monday Night Football, you think of Cosell, you think of Al Michaels, on and on, Madden. Booger McFarlane had never been in a football broadcast booth before. I think that's a tough stage to do it. And then I think Joe Tessitore, his style just to me doesn't fit with the NFL. Very good on boxing. You got a big college game that he's hyping up. I think is very good there. But I don't think the NFL, there's a rhythm to the NFL. And those Monday night games, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And when they're not good, it's hard, you know, no announcers are going to make them great. It's just they have too many weeks where there's mistakes. So And to what John said in terms of the comparison, yeah, and I think you could even go deeper down some of the CBS and Fox teams that are stronger than what they're doing on Monday night. So they're going to go hard after Tony Romo. That's you know, that's a fait accompli.
We're going to get to that in one moment.
Okay.
We're going to do predictions. I just want to end it on this. Give me the best sports show on all of TV, whether it's a regular show, whether it's a studio show. If you can only watch one thing sports related based on what happened in 2019, what would you watch?
God, I'm such a DC kid. I'll watch Wilbon and Kornheiser and PTI. I still think that's just the best of all studio shows.
Still today in 2019.
Yeah, only when those two are on there, because I think those two play off each other so well.
Besides Mic'd Up or Mic'd On, whatever it's called, Andrew, what would your choice be?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, I think you could go PTI. That's an excellent show. I think Frank Isola does a good job, too, when he's in there. But inside the NBA, I think Barkley is just funny. I think that he still brings it with that. I'll try off the top of my head. I mean,
and hasn't Shaq grown into a great person on that show?
Yes.
Like, I didn't think Shaq's going to be as good as he is.
But don't you think that's Barkley that brings it out? I disagree.
You're not giving Shaq enough credit there.
Because
he struggled in the beginning.
Yes, but Barkley brings it out. They're good friends. Like, here's the thing. I think the TV executives make a big mistake. When you put these teams together, get people who like each other, that's really important. Again, you can develop the chemistry. But like, even like we go back to Monday Night Football and Testator and Booger. Now I know they've known each other for a while. But like, is their chemistry there in terms of doing games? If they had done college for 5 years before and now they're doing Monday Night Football.
But that was all about the fact that CBS got lucky with Romo and everyone was going to try to copy that. I mean, that's what that
ended up being about. It was ill-conceived, the whole thing with the mobile.
All right, we're going to do predictions now. I have a bunch of things to ask you guys about. But the last thing on 2019, and don't make a joke and say SI Media, blah, blah, blah. Is there a podcast you started listening? Are there any podcasts you listened to this year that you want to give a shout-out to that you thought did a good job that you enjoyed, whether it's a long-running, short-term, whatever? But it feels like there's more podcasts than ever. There's more than we need. We probably don't even need this one. But we're all out there. We're all doing it. Any podcasts you want to shout out that you enjoyed in 2019? You could say none if you want.
Yeah, I'll say none.
That's nice.
That's
fine. I want your honesty.
I only listen to some podcasts. I sometimes listen to Part of My Take. I sometimes I listen to yours sometimes. But I'm not like every week listening to podcasts.
John?
I'll say SI Media. I think that ESPN has with the 30 for 30 podcast they have do an NPR like job with those, and I think NPR has the best podcast out there. That's what I would pick.
All right, let's talk about 2020. The number one, by far and away, most important topic you guys would probably think is Romo. It's not. It's the NFL contract. What is going to John? This is your
John
area.
John definitely thinks the NFL
so
contracts.
You do the contract, then we'll go to Andrew about Romo. What will happen with the NFL television rights, streaming, Sunday ticket? Give us the prediction.
The NFL is going to make a boatload.
Stop everything. Oh, goodness. Let me write that one down, John. Very good.
Breaking news. That's my first prediction. I'm one for one. My prediction is I think Fox and CBS will keep the Sunday afternoon packages. I can't imagine any kind of scenario where the NFL takes Sunday Night Football off of NBC. It's been the number one primetime show for 9 years running. It's a lot of that is due to NBC and the NBC production. And it's important to NBC, too, so I can't imagine they won't pay up to keep it. I think Monday Night Football is going to stay with ESPN. And as Andrew and I have both reported for more than a year running, I think that it's going to be multicast over on ABC as well. And ABC ESPN is going to get into the Super Bowl rotation. And I see Thursday night as being the one package that changes hands, because that's the one package that always seems to change hands. And
Fox?
Yeah, 3 years.
Eventually when that comes, it's going to end up going toward to ESPN because they want to get into football.
But let me drill down. Why though, John? Why?
Let me just clarify. So just to clarify for anyone listening, so you think ABC gets Monday Night Football, ESPN Thursday Night Football?
I think ABC is going to be simulcast across ESPN and ABC, and then with Thursday night they can mix and match with ABC and ESPN.
Andrew wants to know
why. Why do you say that? I have two questions. I'm going to follow up, but first, why do you say that? I'm going to drill down.
Right now, just in terms of the whole TV landscape, sports is king, and the NFL is the king of kings, and you have Bob Iger or whoever replaces him, and Jimmy Pitaro, who have done a huge offensive with the NFL to try to repair relationships, get back into the Super Bowl business. And both of them take a look. I know it was 15 years ago, but both of them are looking back at like 2005 and view it as a huge mistake that they lost Sunday Night Football to NBC when they could have had both primetime packages. So I think they will do whatever it takes to try to get as much NFL football as they can.
Okay, then my other question, though, and then if that happens, isn't there a concern a little bit if you're these networks that why doesn't, again, going on the philosophy that Fox doesn't retain, that nobody really keeps the Thursday package, that it doesn't really work maybe as well as you want it to, as what you have to pay. Fox paid a lot for it. Again, going on your theory that they're going to lose it.
Yeah, that was my theory when both CBS and NBC said they were losing money off of it, and then Fox blew them out of the water with a bid. I think Fox is happy with it. I mean, I think when Fox took it from NBC and CBS, I think NBC and CBS sort of stepped back from it and allowed Fox to take it. I would be surprised if Fox sort of steps back and allows ABC to come and take it. I think they're happy with it and are going to be aggressive to try to keep it.
Gotcha. Okay. And you think Fox likes it, but you just think ABC, Disney is going to be more aggressive and maybe take it from them.
Yeah.
And what do we got for streaming and Sunday Ticket?
Sunday Ticket, in my column this week, I had Netflix getting it, and everybody went on Twitter to tell me how stupid I was. But
yeah.
I think
I'll tell you in person, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
why is that a
big guess? Mark Sand was one of those people,
damn it.
Yeah,
I was one of those people. I did it on Twitter. Now I'm doing it in person. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, my idea behind Netflix was that Disney is taking its content away. Everybody's taking their content away. They're going to have to do something bold to convince subscribers to stick with them, and that's what I saw. My main point was that Sunday Ticket is moving, almost certainly, my prediction is it's going to move off of DirecTV, and it's going to go to a streaming service, be it ESPN Plus.
That makes sense.
DAZN. Well, I said Netflix, so I got to stick with that one, even though most people I respect think ridiculous prediction.
What's interesting there is some people think they're going to stick with DirecTV and just lose the exclusivity.
Nobody's going to buy a Sunday Ticket without exclusivity because it's all about trying to get subscribers. So,
yeah. DirecTV will be done if they lose Sunday Ticket. They'll be done.
Maybe, or they might go like the Dish Network route and just kind of go for lower end subscribers and try to cut costs that way.
But hasn't Sunday Ticket? Now I know Jimmy, you're a big Sunday Ticket anti-Red Zone guy. The idea of Sunday Ticket, though. Now again, I'm not young, like when I was younger, diehard Steeler fan. I maybe wanted to watch every single game. Older, don't watch Jets and Giants. A lot to do on Sundays. So I don't necessarily need to watch every game. But if you're a Steeler fan, I mean, I'm seeing 8 of 16 games. They're going to be on Monday night, Sunday night. And so I guess with so many primetime windows now, got doubleheader and on Sunday.
I want to have access to every game.
Okay. But how many people are there? I don't know.
There's a lot of fantasy and degenerate gamblers out there.
So let me take this another route because I didn't make this prediction because I don't think it's going to happen.
John, one second. But why can't you just gamble on games?
The NFL decides we're going to just do away with Sunday Ticket because we're not going to make as much money as we used to, and anything that's declining, we don't want to support.
Right.
And we're just going to create that many more packages that then we could possibly sell to digital companies, to Turner, who definitely would pay out for it, and make more money that way.
Listen, the NFL's greatest accomplishment, I mean, literally their greatest accomplishment, in my opinion, is that they're the best at selling. Like, they're like a restaurant, and they, like, sell, like, a hamburger. Jimmy eats, like, half of it, and then they're like, Andrew, here, we'll sell you the other half. We charged Jimmy $15. You can have it for $10. I mean, that's all they do is slice this stuff up. And so they've done that to a point where I don't know. You're telling me that Sunday Ticket has a lot of value, but the numbers that they're talking about, you know, we talk about these deals, and I think that we're a little bit, you know, I think John's on top of these things as much as anybody, and I try to be as well. But I do think if you don't, like, see, like, how the numbers really work, you don't really know, like, is the NBA, ESPN deal a good deal? It seems like they doubled. So my point is, though, when you talk about the billions for this, I don't know. If you're ESPN Plus, are you really going to see that back in subscribers?
Well, here's my thing. I'm under the impression that I think the NFL wants as much money as possible. So I think they will keep DirecTV as a partner, and I think they will stream it out as well. I think they're just going to split up the pie because with so much cord cutting going on, you can still make your money.
Who else would buy the package if they don't have it exclusively?
Well, because so many, there's a lot of people that don't have DirecTV or access to it. If you're a cord cutter or you have cable, you can't get anything on DirecTV. So why wouldn't Netflix want it even if it's on DirecTV?
Maybe I would want it even if it were on DirecTV, but then you better not sell it to anybody else because
I think they'll do DirecTV in terms of people for television, and they'll do a streaming.
But if I get on DirecTV, will I be able to stream it on DirecTV on my iPad?
There's a lot of rules with that, with in-market and this and that, and it's you have to pay. You can stream it on DirecTV, but you have to have DirecTV.
No, I get that. Right. No, I understand that.
So I don't have DirecTV. So if they offered it on DirecTV and Netflix, then I could just get it on Netflix. I think you bring in more people that way.
All right. I also think, you know, Red Zone Channel is something that has hurt the value of the Sunday Ticket package as well, because I think people can just buy that one channel on cable or satellite, and it satisfies what they would have had with Sunday Ticket.
And get stuck watching Jet Dolphin field goals all day long like 2 weeks ago. All right. Tony Romo, his contract's up at CBS. Where will he be 2020 September, week one NFL?
He'll be rich. Richer. I'm not gonna say where. Listen, ESPN's gonna come in big time.
Listen, this is a podcast doing predictions. Is he calling Monday Night Football in 2020, or is he working with Jim Nance in 2020? Make a guess.
Jim Nance on Monday Night Football. No, I don't want to because I'm gonna report on it.
What a terrible guest.
All right, well, don't have me back.
John, what do you think?
Listen,
CBS is gonna renew him. That was one of the predictions.
And how much money?
I had this column. Oh, that's your area. I have no idea.
He won't talk, so let's move on.
No, I'll tell you. He's going to get $8 to $10 million, I bet.
All right, that's fine. Will Peyton Manning call NFL games in 2020?
No.
No chance.
Zero? I wouldn't go zero.
Where?
If ESPN doesn't get Romo and they want to make a change,
That's a good question. 2020, let's say Romo gets his $8 or $10 million from CBS and he's with his buddy Jim Nance.
Yeah.
What is the Monday Night Football booth in 2020?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
It's a prediction.
I'm not going to make a silly
will it
prediction.
Be, what, give me, do you think it'll be Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane?
I think it's doubtful.
John?
ESPN likes Joe and McFarlane, Tess and McFarlane. I can't say Booger on the podcast, sorry. I think there's a chance that they stick together and they add a third person to the booth.
That would really light up social media to go back, you know, then add a third.
They bring Witten back. You say Witten's coming back to the booth. They'll bring him back.
John, who
put Booger back in the mobile.
John, in 2020, who gets the SEC package?
I believe it's going to ABC, and it's a package that runs until 2024, but they're trying to do it early, and I just think ABC is going to be able to convince the SEC that it makes more sense to put all their rights with one network than to parcel it among two or three.
Now I'm going to push back on something you're saying because you're predicting ABC gets the SEC. You're predicting they sort of get Monday night, ABC. Thursday night. Aren't CBS and Fox going to come in here and push back and throw some more money so ABC doesn't and Disney doesn't get everything?
I think they have a lot of money, but I think if you take a look at Disney's strategy, especially around ESPN Plus, I mean they're willing to lose money and spend a ton of money on sports rights in order to control this. And I think that, you know, where this could hurt, like don't expect mid tier level leagues to get, you know, big increases from ESPN. I mean, I just had a story yesterday about. They're letting Mountain West Conference walk, which might not sound that big, but they are looking at areas where they can cut costs. And it's like, well, We don't need that that conference with us.
It's a big loss if you're a degenerate gambler, because that 10-15 Mountain West game on CBS Sports College Network is always a bailout game on Saturdays, and it's usually
That'll stay on CBS Sports Network, right. and then the ESPN's package is just going to Fox Sports One.
Right. And again, like obviously for ESPN Plus, the move would be to just buy everything. But I do think that when you look at it, I mean, it's really niche is what sells these streaming. And again, I don't know the particulars of that deal, but you would think Mountain West, if you could put a lot of it on ESPN Plus, there's a lot of people who would want that, right, and who are diehard fans. I think that's where kind of, again, you're bunting and hitting singles there. But I do think that's where you kind of build those services up a lot. If you look at where The Athletic really grew, from what I understand, is with hockey, because it was underserved and they gave it the right amount of professional coverage. And now they've done really well in England with soccer, apparently. And so I do think, though, those type of deals, again, you don't know the financials exactly, but they do make some sense, especially on the new streaming services.
Oh, without question. And the only reason Mountain West is leaving is because, you know, there was a competition and Fox wanted them. And gotcha. So they're not going to get into a bidding war to get that type of content on ESPN Plus when they already have, ten other college conferences.
A couple more before we wrap. XFL launches in 2020. They'll be on Fox and ESPN. So they have a better TV deal than that, what was it, AFL, whatever.
Alliance of American Football.
Yeah. XFL one and done, or you think they get a second season?
Oh, second season.
Yeah, okay. I definitely second
that other
season.
League
I think also
their
a
first
third.
Season.
But I think that when you look at the financials and you look at how they're going about it, I mean, it seems to me, I don't know exactly the full details, but more of like an MLS sort of model. Is that correct, John? In terms of ownership, in terms of what their pay scales, and then they do have the very strong TV partners. I mean, CBS started with the first game of the AFL or whatever, AAFL, but then it went to CBS Sports Network, which is, you know, the hinterlands. And so you're on Fox and ESPN every week. And they've done a pretty good job in terms of pretty well-known broadcasters, gives it a bigger feel. So I do think that I do think you'll see a second season of that.
And Vince McMahon has said he's willing to bankroll it to a second season, and he has the money to do it.
He's
so
got the money.
You know, I'd be shocked. It would be a huge upset if they don't make a second season.
This doesn't really fall into predictions, but it was a big 2019 story. And I'm not a soccer person, so maybe this is where I'm coming from, and I'd like your guys' take on this. So the U.S. women's team won the World Cup in 2019. And anytime there's something like that happens, you always hear, this is great for soccer in America, soccer's going to grow in America, and it never seems to change. Am I wrong, or did we get some big bump in soccer popularity after the Women's World Cup victory?
Well, I'm a big soccer person. It's right. Probably my favorite sport. So I've been hearing this since I was a kid. I was born in 1974. It's been going on forever. You're right about that. In terms of where though soccer is going, though, it is on the way up. Now, the women's game.
But I've heard that for 20 years.
But it is, though. Okay. I mean, like the MLS,
so
they keep adding
years,
teams.
It's on the way up,
they keep
but
adding
never...
teams. Again, John, this is your more. I don't know what Charlotte just paid, but I think it's like $100, $200 million to get in the league. That means there's value in these teams. When you go to these, especially the soccer-only stadiums, it's a great event. Again, contrary to baseball and other sports, it's 2 hours. You know, it's an hour and 45 minutes. You're out of there, so you know what you're getting. There's no commercials, which in a Netflix world is very good for young people, and it's exciting. Now, the women's game, I had a big conversation with Crystal Dunn at this NBC Olympic event a couple months ago. And they need to grow. They probably need to partner up with the MLS and get in these arenas. They haven't been able to translate that into popularity in terms of a women's-only league. And in Europe, though, it's really starting to grow. The Premier League teams are getting into it. They're getting huge crowds. So to answer your question, it's growing. I mean, but and they, you know, Zlatan was a big deal in LA, and the MLS, it has some things that until they really are going to compete for the top players, it's never going to be where maybe soccer fans want it to be. And that, but in the next 10-20 years from now, could that happen? Yeah, I think it's pretty good chance that could happen, where they're getting Messi in his prime at some point.
John,
Jimmy, just last month, Meg Whitman bought 20% of FC Cincinnati for I think it was like $100 million. Like, it's a deal that values an expansion MLS club at $500 million. I mean, that's so whether or not the popularity is growing, there are people that are really investing. The value of these clubs are growing. There are a lot of metrics that show that, you know, soccer's not where the NFL, NBA, or NHL is, but there are some metrics that are out there that suggest that it is growing.
I mean,
growing.
If you can't even be where the NHL is, though, how much are you growing? I mean, the NHL is a complete non-factor in this country.
I would disagree with that.
I don't agree with that.
They're like major niche sports, I would say. I would say they have super passionate fans, and I do think that it's a different, though, environment.
Cornhole has super passionate fans. I'm talking about in terms
of... But what you're mistaken about, though... But you see, here's the difference, though. This is the difference,
Nobody
though,
cares about the NHL.
Jimmy,
Nobody.
You're wrong, though.
Sorry.
You know
Jimmy,
many,
I want you to name what, one super passionate cornhole fan right now.
Jimmy Traina.
You travel around the country, okay? And do me a favor, all right? Now, if you're in Kansas City, you're going to see a lot of Royals hats, whatever. The things you see the most are you see kids' soccer uniforms. I'm talking European teams and Yankee hats and maybe some NFL stuff. But those are what you see in terms of wearing paraphernalia. That's what you see just, you know, circumstantially. The idea of what you see with NBC, there are a lot of sports fans. They do good ratings on a Saturday morning of what you can watch European soccer.
I was saying hockey. Nobody cares about hockey.
I know, but you said they're both, what did you say, cornhole?
No. In terms of, no.
Hockey's legit. I mean, what do you want from hockey?
Nobody cares about the NHL. Nobody.
That's a silly, stupid
thing. How many people watch the Stanley Cup
finals? What does that mean? So they don't get the mass audience? But yeah, there's a super passion.
But this was my point. Yeah. If soccer has been growing.
So your point, though, is like that everybody watches baseball because they just watch it differently. Hockey has the exact same thing. Their audiences for locally and regionally on the regional sports network.
You gotta compare the World Series audience
and
the Stanley Cup audience.
But that's the thing, though. It's like everyone wants to go to that metric, though.
This is my point. For 20 years, I've heard soccer is growing.
Yeah,
you agreed with that statement, and then
it is growing,
right? Okay, but then you said you had them behind the NHL.
I didn't say that.
I thought he said that. And my point is, if you're soccer and you're growing for 20 years and you're always hearing about how it's how can you not catch the NHL when no one in this country cares about the NHL?
I think it's on par with the NHL, and I think it's different, though, because you have the...
Let me ask you, though, what's on par with the NHL? Certainly not MLS.
No, exactly. That's exactly where I was going, John. You can watch every Saturday, you can watch Serie A on ESPN Plus. You can watch Bundesliga.
Yeah, my point is, I feel like soccer is more popular in America than the NHL.
Yeah, it might be.
That's my point.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to. I mean, like, look. If you want me just to say it, I guess I could. But I'd be talking out of my behind by saying which is more popular. But I also think you're again apples oranges because you have a world game and hockey's a world game in some respects.
You're a terrible podcast guest today. The whole point is we argue, we fight, we throw out crazy opinions, and you know. In my opinion, soccer is more popular in America than the NHL.
Listen, it doesn't matter. Wow. But hold on a second. If he just called me, John, here's the thing. If he calls you a terrible podcast guest and no one's listening.
Wait,
hold on a second. No, wait, let me finish. If he calls you a terrible podcast guest and no one's listening, did he actually say it? I mean, we're 120 minutes into this freaking thing. Nobody's listening. And if you are, God bless
you. If anyone heard me say it, tweet Andrew and tell him he's
tweet me. Let's see my six tweets.
Let me wrap with this.
Jimmy's family will tweet me.
Let me wrap with this because we can. This could lead into us talking about Francesa for 1 minute at the end.
Oh God, really?
No, wait.
Listen.
No. We've talked about TV, streaming, cable, network. We even mentioned podcasts. We haven't mentioned radio at all. In this day and age, with streaming being what it is, everyone getting whatever they want individualized on their phones, what is the state of sports talk radio? Is it in trouble? Is it thriving? Like, what do you think nationally? I mean, Dan Patrick always does a good show, and there's other national guys who have their popularity, but is it still a thriving business, sports talk radio nationally, John?
I'm not sure if it's ever been a thriving business. I have the same answer to that. I think locally, you know, you sort of identify with, I mean, ESPN always has a hard time getting their shows in local areas. They get beat by sort of the local guys, even though they have nationally, they have a... You know, they're able to sort of add those in. This is more your area, though. Andrew.
Yeah, I really like. I do cover other things, radio. Just the last couple of months, the years. Fayette has been a very interesting story in my ESPN New York. Have been a very interesting story, so I've been very focused on that. So I'm looking forward to branching out on other things soon. But yeah, no, it's very popular. I'll tell you why. Let me ask. Tell me, who are the top five sports personalities who are kind of lightning rods in our business?
Stephen A. Smith.
Okay. Just had, he's getting rid of his radio show, but had a radio show. Colin Cowherd, radio show. Dan Le Batard, radio show. It's still very big. That's national. Locally, it's even bigger. Right. And I would say this. Yes, podcasts are growing.
Well, yeah. I guess ultimately the question is, like, how much damage have podcasts done?
Yeah, and they're growing, but they're still a shelf life, because the same way that TV is propped up by sports because of live, radio is live in the sense of this. You have a podcast. We're talking about it now, right?
Right.
You're going to go. You're going to produce it. People are listening to it right now in their cars. But we're recording this, a day before when they're listening, 2 days before. When something happens in sports, there still is that Yankees made a big trade. Let me put on FAN or ESPN New York and listen to that.
Right.
Or there's a big deal with Baker Mayfield. Let me put on Colin. Same kind of thing. So I think that shelf life, that live aspect of it, gives it a little, like, 10, 15 years from now, will sports radio really be in trouble? Yeah, I think you're right. Podcasts will probably. Okay. But I still think the shelf life is a lot longer than it's like, you know, than it might feel like, because everyone and their mother has a podcast.
Right. All right. Fair. John, any last thoughts on 2019 or predictions for 2020 or anything you wanted to say about the past year that I didn't get to that you would like to wrap with, or you think you covered everything you
No,
want?
I think we covered everything. Okay. I can't think of anything else that's out there.
All right. Andrew, Mike Francesa.
I wanted to say John Oren's my sports media writer of the year.
Mike Francesa will be doing a show, supposedly.
Wait, can I vote for Sports Media Writer of the Year, too? I want to vote for Andrew Martin.
All right, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I was being sincere.
Yeah,
this
is a terrible ending.
Yeah, don't do that.
Francesa's doing a show on WFAN in 2020 from 6 to 6:30 every night. How long does it last?
That part might last a while. I don't know about the radio.com politics thing.
Right.
I mean, building
a that's what I wanted to get to. Let's end it with this. Perfect. Okay. You mentioned the politics.
Yeah.
2020, we have an election. ESPN has their no sports policy. I think because this president is a sociopath, even if he loses, he could win, but if he lost, I don't think he's going to leave. How many sports media people are going to get in trouble tweeting in 2019 in November?
Yeah, probably a good amount. But
how many jobs will be lost from a tweet in November of 2020?
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like ESPN kind of has that under control. It's the only network that really does it, though. Here's the other thing. I never understood. This is something maybe, John, you could help me out with, because I...
But what about if a New York Post writer said something like, you know, I get this guy out. I can't. It's enough already. Blah, 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 blah. Would they get in trouble?
No, I don't think so. If you say that, I think if you say something like he should die or some kind of threat that.
No,
but
no,
I think that's where you get yourself in trouble.
Okay, or like, I can't believe these idiots voted him back in again. Would that get someone at the New York Post in trouble?
I don't know for sure.
I don't want to just dump on ESPN for their dump policy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's no like policy that
John,
I know.
What do you think? Will there be trouble in 2020 with people tweeting, sports media people tweeting about the election?
I think that there'll be a flashpoint or two, but I think that, you know, I know everybody kills ESPN. I think that it's pretty clear, you know, not to talk pure politics, but you can discuss, you know, right, where it intersects with sports. I think it's a pretty clear line.
Yeah, I understand. What is your problem with that? Hold on a second.
Intuitively
here's
know
my point. Yeah, as a human,
what they can and can't tweet about.
Because as a human being and not a robot, in November of 2020, you're going to be tempted to tweet about what's going on.
Yeah, okay, let's break down Let's break down tweeting, though. Okay,
sure.
Let's just break down tweeting.
All right, break it down.
Okay, is that when you tweet about that? Like, what are you like? Again, I'm not saying there aren't.
Yeah, what are you trying to accomplish?
Doing?
I've never Andrew do a political tweet. I don't.
Yeah, every once in a while
he won't even make a prediction on, you know, Tony Romo. So I don't think he's going to make a.
Why would I need to tweet out my political allegiance?
Look, the only
I just
time I ever got in trouble at ESPN once
that.
At ESPN when during the A-Rod thing, Scott Pelley did an interview. It was so. It's like you should go back and watch he interviewed
he's one of the
Bosch.
Worst
he interviewed Bosch, and he said to Bosch, like, he said something to the effect of, like, when he was selling steroids to A-Rod, did you think about the integrity of the game? He's asking a drug dealer, do you care about the integrity? Of course he does. So I was, like, tweeting, like, making fun of the whole interview. And then your boy Richard Deitch tweeted out that I was tweeting about it. And then my boss at the time, Leon Carter, gave me a little DM and said, "Hey, easy on this." So
that's ridiculous.
So anyway,
did you stop?
Yeah, I stopped. I mean, what's the point? Trouble. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get fired over making fun of Scott Pelley on a Sunday night, but the
that's the whole point. So, now you know where the line is, right?
So you don't understand why Dan Le Batard said what he said on his radio show about.
Well, let me ask you a question. What? Well, look.
No, I find the radio shows to be a little bit different.
Well, okay, so I mentioned
just because, there you're really like engaging
right.
with.
So are we trying to make a difference, though, or are we trying to feel better? That's the thing. Does Dan Le Batard saying that make a difference?
Something. I mentioned tweeting. I should have made it all encompassing. Whether it's tweeting something you say on the radio, something whatever, people are going to get in trouble in 2020. There's just sports media.
Yeah,
people.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my point.
But I guess my point is, though,
we can all agree on that.
But if I follow Jimmy Traina, right, on sport, and I like you, whatever, I'm going to follow you, and you do politics sometimes, fine. But I don't know if I'm following you.
Then don't follow me. It's that simple.
But that's not. But I get it. I'm not saying you make it all confrontational like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I can look past these tweets. I don't really.
No, but you could put the word. You could put any word in for if you don't like me tweeting about Seinfeld, unfollow me. If you don't like me tweeting about the Yankees, unfollow me. If you don't like me tweeting that Trump is
this though, Jimmy.
Unfollow me.
Do you think? But I get it. But overall, I like your feed, so I do. So I'll put up with.
Then don't complain.
But I'm not complaining. You're not. But you're not understanding the point though. But are you saying something that's so so enlightening.
Yeah, but that's not what Twitter is. Twitter is not just to be enlightened. Twitter could be, you just...
I guess so, yeah. I guess so.
I mean, you're taking it way too seriously. Who looks to Twitter to be enlightened? Not me. That's the last place I'd go to be enlightened.
But don't you try to get information? Isn't that what you were interested in?
If I want information about, who... Yeah, but I don't get the complaining about Twitter from this standpoint. Twitter is what you want it to be because you get to follow who you want.
Yes.
So my number one reason for not following someone is if they tweet too much. I just don't follow that person if they tweet. Wait,
who? Give me somebody you've unfollowed.
Not unfollowed. I just won't follow them from the beginning.
Give me one
person. I don't want to say names because I
come
like them.
Oh, this guy, he's been on me all the whole time. Won't predict Roma. Won't say one name.
I'm not going to say I don't like this person. I'm just saying if someone tweets excessively, I usually don't follow them.
Fine.
If someone tweets, but like. That,
look, I'll never tell somebody how they should tweet or complain about their tweets. I just know personally, people follow me for sports media news, and I want to. I don't think they don't follow me for my politics.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to change one mind by putting out my political viewpoints. And that's not an area that I feel comfortable weighing in.
And there's tons of people who are in that camp. I think that's a very valid opinion. But
get involved. My point would be though this is that if people let's say you're at ESPN, right, and you want to make a difference. All right. First off, you better vote. Everyone vote.
Well, maybe
one.
Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe Dan Le Batard said what he said in hopes of getting people to understand what's going on and making them register to vote. If one person registered to vote after what he said, it's a win for him.
Yeah, maybe. So. But I don't know if But I also think you can make again, we're getting the larger argument, is that it's a sports media company. If you want to do the show where you're...
Right, but he's not tweeting from the ESPN feed. He's tweeting from his own feed. He should be able to do what he wants on his own feed. But he did it on the radio. We're getting off the beaten path. The point is this. We're doing predictions for 2020.
Yeah.
Someone's getting in trouble. It's an election year.
I'll agree
That's
with
my
that.
Point.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hopefully none of you guys get in trouble.
Hope not.
Who's getting in trouble? Any ideas?
Could be anybody.
I think Le Batard's probably a good...
Because you don't know what's going to... You don't know what's going to happen. That's why I think, I think on election night, you could have a lot of people... Let's say Donald Trump wins again. Election night, I would be very careful about pushing that send button.
Well, I also think that people, though, I don't understand, like Michael Kay does this sometimes, Mike Tirico I've seen do it,
right.
Where they respond to people who are, dissing them, and then, they're getting into it on Twitter, and, you can't win if you're these people who are these established, at the top of their game people, and you're fighting with someone who's saying you said something wrong. It's like... You're just bringing attention to that. I just don't really. Again, it's frustrating. We all get it. People say stuff to you, and you want to respond sometimes. But it's like you can't.
And I'll say this in wrapping up: when we do this podcast 1 year from now to wrap up 2020, we'll be having the same talk about people getting in trouble on Twitter and what's the point.
Oh, yeah, we'll be after
Twitter
election.
And politics. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So,
all right, who's this? Who's going to win?
I will say this: you guys did a phenomenal job wrapping up 2019. Looking ahead to 2020, we covered everything. If you have made it this long, even though Andrew was great on the pod, tweet him and tell him he was a terrible guest. That's how we'll know you made it to the end. But both of you, I really do appreciate
it. Keep me out of it. Keep me out of that.
I really do appreciate the time and recapping everything and looking forward to 2020. Hope you guys have great holidays, great New Year's, and obviously you'll be on the SI Media Pod throughout 2020. So I thank both of you.
Thank you, Jimmy. You do a great job with this pod, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
I listen to it every week.
You're such a liar, but I'll take it. All right, thanks.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
All right, that wraps it up. My thanks to Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, John O'Rand of Sports Business Journal. We will not be with you Christmas week. We'll be with you New Year's week. So enjoy that Christmas holiday. And you can use that time to catch up on past episodes of the SI Media Podcast. Kyle Branker, Morning Football, was on last week. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, 2 weeks ago. Katie Nolan of ESPN, 3 weeks ago. So give those a listen if you missed any of those other great episodes. I should mention Spotify did a great year in review. Top episode of the year in terms of listeners was Ryan Russillo. Second was Seth Rollins of WWE. Third, Scott Van Pelt of ESPN. So those are all in the archives, and you can catch up while you're not working over the holiday break. So, and please, subscribe. Can't emphasize that enough. And again, thanks to Andrew Marchand and John O'Rand for wrapping up 2019. Happy holidays, and we'll see you next time right here on the SI Media Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah.
and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.